listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, live, live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And a good evening to you for Wednesday, March 19th, 2014. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Doug. Gee, it's great to be back. I'm excited.
Yep, it's been a few months since we have taken a hiatus, and so here we are back at it. Got some interesting stuff to talk about over the coming weeks, and we're going to change things up a little bit, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. Metaphysical Universe is a weekly service and going to be a bi-weekly service soon here, or currently, and it's an educational program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this radio program, MCHS Church also operates the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science, a metaphysics school offering bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics with a number of specializations available. And we also operate the International College of Humanistic Science, which offers standalone courses as well as certificate programs. We'll talk about that a little bit here soon, too. We also operate Paranexus, Anomalous Researchers Association. We're going to be discussing that again in just a few minutes. We have a number of educational programs in Power of Recovery, International Practitioners, Metaphysical Practitioners Association, and we're growing a number of different educational outlets. So we'll be discussing that. Good to have everybody with us. We welcome those who are joining us live, those who are joining us on the archives. Glad you could join us on this return show. Tonight we're going to be talking about some updates and so forth. Then we're going to get into our rite of equinoctial equilibrium, which is our ceremony for the spring or fall, depending on which part of the planet you live in. So what else? If you have questions, we feel free to ask them in the chat room. We probably don't have a lot of time for call-ins tonight, so we won't be really looking at that. If we do get calls, we're going to assume that you're calling in to listen to the program. So, that having been said, let's talk about what's new.
Well, we got a lot of stuff that's new, Doug.
Oh, really? Well, you first.
Well, look, I'm really excited about the International College of Humanistic Science. We have been developing, I should say Dr. Doug Kelly has been developing and working and all kinds of new specializations and certifications if you don't want a doctoral degree. Now, there was a lot of reasons for this. A lot of people aren't interested in a bachelor's or master's. They're not interested in pursuing all the different aspects that metaphysics can offer, but they do want life coaching. They do want life coaching certifications, spiritual counseling certificates, and of course our standalone courses that were at that was at newageclass.com is now forwarded to ICHS, International College of Humanistic Science, and it's a program that I'm really excited about, and we've already started to get off on a great start with enrollment. So, spread it around, folks, and you can go to imhsmetaphysicsinstitute.org, and you'll see the little icon. Just click on that, and it'll take you right over to the college. So that's big.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
And the URL for the college is ichsworld.org. It's the same site as New Age Class was. You can still get to it by going to newageclass.com, but it will forward into ichsworld.org. So we've ramped it up a lot. Over the years, a lot of folks have wondered if they could take one of our degree programs courses as a standalone course, and up till now, they really haven't been available. But now they are available. Most of the degree program courses are available as standalone courses at ichsworld.org. And so you can take them. Or, again, as Dr. Vicki Hunter said, if you're not interested in degree, you can go get your certification in spiritual counseling and various other paranormal science, so forth.
Cryptozoology is a perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
And that's already starting to show. There is very little on the internet available by way of, you know, getting an education in cryptozoology that's very concise and, you know, and of course your course is awesome. And Brian, who we're going to bring on here in a moment, he knows lots about that too. But people don't want to get a degree program to take the crypto course. So now we have it as a freestanding program at the college with ufology as well.
Yeah, well, ufology is part of the paranormal science, and you can take those individual courses or you can take the certification program, and it's all shown there on ichsworld.org. If you can look at the course descriptions or you can look at the certification programs and what's involved in those. So if you're not interested in degree, go there and take a look at what we have to offer there. But if you are interested in a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, you can still get those at metaphysicsinstitute.org. Interestingly, too, if you're a current IMHS student and you just decided a certification is better for your career goals and objectives, you can transfer to ICHS. And down the road, if you start at ICHS and decide you want to do your degree, you can transfer over to IMHS. So all the courses will transfer over. Anyway, contact us if you have any questions on that. And let's go ahead and get into another aspect, which has to do with Paranexus. And I'd like to bring on Dr. Brian Parsons to talk about Paranexus with us. Welcome, Dr. Brian.
Good evening, Dr. Doug and Dr. Vicky.
Yeah, doctor. So, anyway, the reason we got Brian on, you know, back in 2008 when Paranexus was founded, you know, we started off and we had a lot of lofty goals and everything. We ended up incorporating and getting qualified as a 501c3 at the time. We had a board. Brian was one of our board members and been there the whole time. And, you know, just the economy went to pot and there was just no funding. We just couldn't go anywhere with it. So we dissolved the corporation, dissolved the 501c3, and it became an educational program when I founded MCHS Church back in the spring of 2010. That's 4 years ago. So we're going into our fifth year here. And Paranexus has been kind of there. It stood for groundedness, professional research. It's an anomalous researchers association for those people who are serious about paranormal phenomena, cryptozoology, ufology, any of those types of things. It's meant to be an outlet for interaction, comparing notes, sharing evidence, and getting a second opinion on evidence and so forth. And so it's just been kind of sitting there and hasn't been going anywhere. So for a long time, I have wanted to get somebody involved with Paranexus, somebody at the helm who could offer a different vision, a little bit of a different component, add some more energy into it, because I've just got my hands full with IMHS and now ICHS and the church and so forth. And Brian was on my mind for a long time, and I knew he was busy with stuff, but he finally got to a point in his life where he had some time and was crazy enough, so I offered him the position of executive director a week or two ago, and he accepted. So I would like to formally announce that Dr. Brian Parsons is now the executive director of Paranexus.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I think, yeah, crazy is the word there.
Operative word.
Yes.
You know, maybe we could just give a little bit of a background on Brian at the moment, Doug. Because I know
that sounds
there's a lot
good.
Of a lot
Go
of
ahead,
listeners
Brian.
Who don't know.
he's got a laundry list of stuff he could share. I know.
Yeah, I think.
But he just released a book, and one of
book.
Many.
Oh, yeah, I've written 5 books. I mean, I guess I am the expert on myself, right?
I should hope so.
I actually got into the anomalous fields back in 1996. Before that, I had really no interest in it whatsoever, but I stumbled into ghost investigation. prior to the TV shows, so I wasn't really influenced by that. Got involved in that, kind of got a little bored after a few years, and got into UFO research and UFO investigation, got involved with the Mutual UFO Network. And I learned a lot, and I really realized that looking at other fields helped me in the field in which I was more specialized in. And I had a deep interest in cryptozoology and ultimately reached out into cryptozoology, got some training in that with some other groups, and have gone on to do quite a few investigations and different things in that field as well. And it really felt like it's really rounded me out as an investigator for all three fields. Really, the experience in each one of those fields has helped me out. And during my time in the field, I really saw some issues and problems with other groups and individuals in the field. And the biggest thing was passing on your knowledge and helping the new people coming in. So I kind of made a vow to myself. Actually, a friend of mine told me, quit complaining and do something about it. So I did something about it. I started to write about my experiences and write about my knowledge. And, you know, like we just mentioned, five books. I've written three books on ghost investigation methodologies and another book on my specific methodology, which is the E4 method. And my last book was on cryptozoology. So I think I've kind of touched on all the subjects on introductions and how to teach people how to do things. So I feel like I've done something.
If I can say, too, that your book is now, I've heard wind of this somewhere, Brian, that your book will be part of the IMHS and ICHS crypto courses.
Yes, yeah. The E4 method is going to be coming to ICHSworld.org soon.
Yes, yeah, that's true. He's going to have a course on the E4 method, but, and I'm not sure what you're referring to, Vicky, but I was thinking that his cryptozoology book, his most recent book, is going to also be part as an additional reference and resource.
That's what I thought. Yes,
yeah, in the cryptozoology course at IMHS.
Which I think is a great benefit, benefit to the program.
I do too, because it covers some stuff that I didn't like tracking, how to track animals and things like that. It's great stuff. And the thing I like about Brian, and the reason that I have entrusted Paranexus with him, is because Brian has a good head on his shoulders. He's down to earth. He's grounded. He's a serious anomalous researcher. He doesn't get taken with the wind, you know, or wherever the wind blows in terms of beliefs and all that. And he's actually written about beliefs extensively. And we already used one of his videos in the paranormal science course. So, you know, Brian is just, I could not think of somebody better to take the helm at Paranexus than Brian. And I'm really glad you accepted, crazy as you are, but I'm really glad because it's in good hands.
Yeah. And I'm very excited too, because we have ICHS and IMHS. So we have a lot of educated people out there, or people who want to get an education. And I'm looking forward to them gravitating toward Paranexus so they can use their knowledge and use their experience in science to hopefully help forward some of our anomalous fields, and we can be a huge leader in the scientific field.
Yeah.
So what will be the criteria or the continuing criteria at Paranexus to be a member, Brian?
Well, as Doug has started, and I want to continue with that, is you have to have some sort of background in the paranormal, knowledge, a degree, or at least a certification course in something along the lines of anything anomalous. Again, UFOs, ghosts, and cryptozoology. Taking orb pictures in your backyard is not an education. You know,
what?
We want to, we're looking for the top, the cream of the crop, you know. People who are going to challenge me. If somebody challenges me education-wise, or their knowledge or their background, and I see something that I think can really add a new dimension to Paranexus, that's who I want to bring in. I mean, people like myself, I remember my initial conversation with Doug and him asking me a lot of tough questions, and it was exciting because I had confidence in this organization, which I'd been watching for a few months grow, that these guys knew what they were doing, they knew what they were talking about, and I felt comfortable becoming a part of that, because that's how I felt too. So I'm looking forward to getting some top-notch researchers top-notch investigators in all of the anomalous fields involved in this organization and bringing it back to life.
Mm-hmm. And right now, the membership requirements for Paranexus are that you need some sort of certification. The CPI course available at ICHSworld.org is one. Degree in paranormal science, ufology, cryptozoology is another. MUFON, field investigator certification is another one. There's some out there. So if in doubt, just contact admin at paranexus.org, and Brian will weigh in on that. So, Brian, great to have you as part of this. I couldn't think of anybody better to handle it, and I'm just really happy that you're part of this. So if you're an IMHS or ICHS student who's focusing on some aspect of the paranormal, consider joining Paranexus, and contributing to it, because that's what it was designed for all along, is to be a upper-end Anomalous Researchers Association. That is for people who are serious about it, people who care enough to get trained to get further training and certifications. I get tons and tons of people who want to join, but they're not interested in further training. I get emails that are written in very, very poor English telling me how experienced they are. But that's the whole point of Paranexus is to get training is to enhance your all-around skills and to be a professional and to come off as a professional. So congratulations, Brian. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm glad
Thank
you're
you
part
much.
Of it. Wish you the best, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you, Vicki.
Thank you, Brian. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right, so
we should have Brian on maybe once every couple of months and give us updates.
Yeah, we should. And
that would be exciting.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's. I'm sure he'll be, up doing some good things. So we'll look forward to that. All right, we're going to go on to the next part of the program, which is our spring ceremony.
Well, for people who are new to our program and to the school, quite some time ago, we wanted to acknowledge these certain times of the year that are really important in energy. We have the equinox, the solstice, and so on. So, quarterly, we have these ceremonies that we do, of which Dr. Doug, spent an enormous amount of time putting together and researching and being, very clear about what we wanted to do, again, by MCHS principles of belief, also based on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we, and my little contribution on the side, I'm the sidekick. and we came up with this ceremony. So as we're now back on the air and as we have shows that would be live on or around that time, we will do these ceremonies. So that's for our new listeners.
Right. And just to give a little background on a little further details on the reason for these ceremonies and rites for the church. First of all, it's not some fringy thing that we're doing here. What it is, it's an opportunity to recenter, to rebalance. It's an opportunity to review our lives and our accomplishments over the last few months within the context of our higher purpose. It's an opportunity to review our lives and paths going forward within the context of our higher purpose. It's an opportunity to connect with us inside, with our higher selves, to reaffirm our goals and objectives and to get back on track. It's a time to just, as Dr. Vicki would say, press the pause button and take a deep breath and where am I at? Where have I been? What have I accomplished in the last few months or 6 months or year, whatever it's been? Where am I going? Have I allowed life to distract me, to get me going off in 16 different directions that really don't mean anything to me, but I just kind of fell into it? So this is a time to just take a breath, stop, reevaluate where you're at, get back in sync, recenter. That's essentially the gist of it. So this ceremony, we will read, and it takes just a few minutes. And if you've got a candle handy, then grab it. You can light your candle at the time that we talk about here in just a minute. You'll know when. And then we'll chat about it a little bit afterward. So, without any further ado, let us begin our ceremony. The rite of equinoctial equilibrium.
And we have the lighting of the flame.
With the lighting of the flame, we commence the rite of equinoctial equilibrium, the time of year in which the day and the night are aligned and in balance. We invite all those who are able to now join us in lighting the ceremonial flame.
Through the universe of which I'm a part, beats the energy of life and into my heart. A flame of fire lights up my soul with will and desire for the world to know. The energy of life beats through my heart and through the universe of which I'm a part.
With the lighting of the flame, we symbolically transfer the fire of our spirit to a visual representation that we can see and feel, or in this way we are reminded of the power of this fire, the power of our spirit, the fire of our passion to fulfill our unique and individual purpose, the passion of our spirit to do no harm and to do right, the never-ending light and warmth contained within us that honors the divine nature of all life and regards all sentient life as equal, having one common origin in the stuff of stars. We are one planet and one race, with one ancestry and one destiny.
Connectedness.
The energy of our unfettered consciousness creates an expanded awareness of the profound connection that we have to one another, to all divine life, to Mother Earth, and to the universe. We pause in grateful acknowledgement of the universal consciousness that connects and unites us all. We take a moment of silence in honor, remembrance, and appreciation for the interdependent relationships we have with those closest to us and with all living things.
Responsibility.
We are connected to all things, and yet we are one. And in each one of us lies the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately prevail in the face of any dilemma, to rise above any obstacle, to triumph over any challenge. We recognize the inherent responsibility we have as a race of adept beings to resolve the challenges before us and acknowledge that this is as it should be.
Self-completeness.
The flame before us is complete within itself. It needs no other spark to sustain it. We, too, are complete within ourselves and need no other spark to sustain us. The synergy of self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. We need nothing nor anyone outside ourselves, for the answers we seek already exist within us. Our flame is within. We look there.
Equilibrium.
This is the time of the year that the day and night are in balance. They are equal. It is in this equilibrium that we seek to reconcile the things unequal, to recalibrate the things unbalanced, to recenter our consciousness and awareness, to realign our thoughts with the fulfillment of our individual and unique purpose. We draw from the cycles, phases, and rhythms of the universe that continue in perfect harmony from time immemorial. We attune the cycles, phases, and rhythms inherent in our own inner universe that they may serve our highest good and that we may serve others for their highest good in the spirit of do no harm and do right. So the day, so the night, so the universe, so our life. Equilibrium is renewed.
Positive consciousness.
In our innermost thoughts, in our heart of hearts, we strive toward positive consciousness, harboring ill will toward no form of life. So the energy within, so the energy without. So the one, so the many. We possess conscious awareness of the universal mind, the universal consciousness, the interconnectedness of all who are. Thus, synergy is created. We pause for a moment to send out positive energy to those in need. We recognize the power of gratitude and deliberate intent, for like attracts like, and the like that we positively intend is the like that we invite and the sum that we receive. We pause for a moment of silence to calibrate our intent to send positive and deliberate intent out into the universe in harmony with our own unique purpose so that it may return to us in due time. As the fire of the flame burns before us, so too burns the flame of our passion for doing right and the fire in our soul to immerse everything around us in the bright light of our positive intent. May the fire of our essence burn brightly to the higher good of all who are.
The fires for life burn deeply within, joined with the universe, creations begin. Brightly shining, new thoughts akin, and so it is, the light within, and so it is.
With the quenching of the flame, we affirm the transference of its light, warmth, and energy to empower the spirit within us as a beacon of light shining brightly upon the world in the strength of do no harm and do right. We make it so, and so it is. The flame is transferred. And this concludes the rite of equinoctial equilibrium. We thank you for joining us in this ceremony. Please join us again for our next ceremony on or about the next solstice, which should be in June. So tonight, what have we done so far with this rite? We've talked about recentering. We've talked about remembering what our purpose is, what we're here for, what we want to accomplish. And remember, the question, what's the purpose of life, is not the right question. A better question is, what is the purpose of our life? And that concerns us. We need to discover that, make that, figure that out. And that's not terribly difficult. If you know who you are and why you are who you are, and you know your gifts and you want to channel those, it's pretty easy. If you want to learn more about that, then enroll in the doctoral degree program at IMHS or even the certification program, one of those at ICHS. Basically, you figure out your purpose by answering the question, what do I call a good day? So if you've answered that question, how are you achieving that? Are you working with it? Are you making baby steps, if nothing else, toward its realization? And that's how you achieve that. And we wish you the very best of that. We wish you the very best of success in that. And if we can be a part of that, we'd love to be. All right, so go ahead.
No, I was going to say, part of the discussion, I think, is what is consciousness, Doug? You know, we talk about, there's a lot of, you know, talk out there in the so-called, I hate to say it, the New Age community, all right? You know, talk about enlightenment or consciousness, and what is that? And perhaps it's kind of two different things. Consciousness being energy, enlightenment being just you unto yourself. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's, well, consciousness is that life force, you know. It's that thing that, it's the energy that's out there, and we're all part of that. We all have a measure of that. And that's, of course, a whole other conversation about what it involves. But we can kind of focus in a little bit more on it within the context of self-study.
But it's not to be confused with the brain, though.
That's right.
And thinking and the mind, which is...
Right. Well, your mind and consciousness are pretty much synonymous. Your mind and your brain are not. All the evidence says that the mind, consciousness, is non-local.
Okay, maybe that's a good time to explain non-local versus local.
Well, we can do that. That's easy. Take the analogy of a computer. Most of us are sitting at our computer, and if you're not at a computer, your iPhone or smartphone or tablet or something like that. But let's take the example of a computer. You've got a computer, you've got your keyboard, you've got your screen, you've got your audio and all those computer systems. Well, you could call that the brain. But beyond the brain, you have a user. That's you. So in this example, consciousness would be you, the person operating through this computer. So if I'm sitting at my computer, I can do lots of different things. But if my computer has a glitch somewhere in the hardware, even in the software there, it may not allow me to do things like I want to. And, you know, that's a whole nother discussion, too, on mental illness. But basically, the brain is the hardware. Consciousness is the mind, is, and consciousness is the force behind it, what's directing it or acting through it. I hope that explains the difference. So your mind is not located in your brain. In fact, they can't find where your mind is. They can't just find it. Some people, some of these scientists say they have found it, but that just isn't true. They can't locate the mind. It's because it's not here. It's out there. It's in the ether. It's all around us. It's, you know, look at the universe. Like they've got dark energy. They have dark matter. You can't see either one of them, but they have a huge effect on keeping the universe in order. Well, we could say the same thing, and we're not so sure that that's not also part of consciousness, but that's, again, a story for another time.
Which I think is a great time to insert part of our topic tonight, being how do you process information and what that is. There is a part of the brain that is that's organics. That's the there's some genetics involved, and like I'm dyslexic, you know, and that's kind of a hardwire in my brain, but it's not my mind. My mind can find other pathways. My mind can find other methods, or, you know, by self-observing, obviously. My mind can, and I have control of that, by the way. Hello. I want everybody to know that. We each have control of our own mind to recognize how we're hardwired and begin to understand the processing of how that's working, and then begin to be the better manager of how we want our mind to work, you know, in daily life, because that's what it is. So part of the discussion tonight would be about consciousness, what that is, the mind, and how it is that we're self-observing and what we do with that, and then how do we bring in new information into our minds. People are very often under the idea, under the impression that, well, that's the way I was raised, so I can't change that.
Right.
And that's just wrong, everybody.
It's a misnomer.
Well, it truly is. I think that there is a natural and understandable reason why people would feel that way. You know, we have belief systems that are put into our minds, not our brain. The belief systems are put into our mind of how we're supposed to be in the world, how we're supposed to act, what we're supposed to think. So we are functioning that way, and we kind of are misled to understand that or believe that that's how we're hardwired. But it's the brain that has the hardwiring, not the mind. So I hope that makes sense, if I've explained that well enough.
Well, they have, I suppose, their own hardwiring in different ways. I mean, when you talk about beliefs, that's obviously something of the mind. And so now let's tie in the rest of our topic with this discussion. How do you learn and process information?
You know, that's that's an amazing discussion, and obviously we're not going to have a lot of time to get into that. Hopefully in a future show we will. But each of us processes information, I believe, through all of our sensories. We have sensory input that gets filtered into our belief systems. You know, we're absorbing information, and it has to go into a file. So I really appreciate the computer hard drive kind of visual of that. You get new information, it's got to find a pathway. it's got to find a file to attach to in order to make sense of it. So very often we are filtering information out that doesn't apply to our hard drive. Now, we can, or like in our minds, in our thinking process, but we can become aware, and that's a key word here, become aware of sensory input and how what our strengths are, what our weaknesses are. If we're experiential, we're auditory, we're more visual, I'm a better reader than I am a talker, I'm a better talker and listener than I am a reader. And if we can acknowledge how those processes begin to filter through our, you know, existing mind source, then we can work with, of course we want to work with the strengths, but we can also begin to adapt and build on accessing tools that helps train us to absorb information consciously in new ways. So, I mean, I really believe that. We can train ourselves. It doesn't mean I'm going to be a mathematician, Doug.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's not going to happen in this lifetime. But I can appreciate math, and I can appreciate that math is in nature, which is something when I grew up going to school, it didn't even occur to me. But in an awareness, you know, with greater awareness, I start to think that, wow, you know, so we have to give it attention and give everything we do attention. Perhaps the biggest thing we could all do for ourselves that would be of great benefit is to slow down a little bit. We all need to slow it down. We are going at such a fast pace that we're not aware that we're not aware, if that makes any sense
yeah.
at all.
That's called being oblivious, huh?
But there's a truth to that. We're all moving so fast. I mean, you think about how much input, even in 5 minutes, is going into our brains and the sensory overload. It's just no wonder that people short-circuit. If you think about that. But here it is, you know, going through life and we want to keep learning, but we start to become just a little bit confused because we're not aware of the process. We're not pushing that pause button to say, wait a minute, I need to see this a new way. I need to see this a different way. I need to hear it a different way. And what I did in this method, this manner of dyslexia that I have, I actually translate all information into my own source. So I had to observe how the rest of the world is seeing something, translate that through my own source into my brain, and then be able to. So it's a little extra work, but that's the nature of me. And that's, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. That's the beautiful thing, because I'm high sensory. You know, I have this hypersensitivity to energy. And so, okay, so I got this, but I didn't have that, but I can learn to work with that to be more in balance and whole. And I think that ultimately each of us wants to be more enlightened to ourselves, who we are, just to go out and get information for no self-value doesn't really benefit anybody except to feel like you're positioning yourself better in the world and can compete and hold a good conversation. But it's who we are to become more self-complete,
right.
I think.
And that includes being more aware of who you are and how you learn. I mean, there are different, as Dr. Vicki said, there are several ways of learning. There's auditory, there's visual, kinesthetic, which is feeling. You know, some people do better with a mixture of those, one or the other, whatever. But it means to know yourself and how you learn. And another thing that comes into this whole process is critical thinking. You know, when we learn, we need to use our critical thinking skills to kind of sift through the stuff that is worthy of further exploration or stuff that just doesn't make any sense at all and it's not worthy of further pursuit. So we have to think critically, and that doesn't mean negatively. That just means we need to think with our mind, with our full faculties. We need to ask, what's the meaning of this? Is it even a meaningful thing? You know, so that's, again, we just don't buy into everything that we're faced with or that we're presented, that's presented to us. We have to ask, is it meaningful? Is it true? Is it real? And that brings us back to that term or that little excuse that, well, that was the way I was raised. that's not an excuse. I mean, it's an excuse. It's not a valid excuse, because as adults, we have a responsibility for who we are and what our core values are and for how we behave. We can't just blame it on that's the way I was raised, and because that's really shirking responsibility. Well, I don't like a certain race because, you know, that's the way I was raised. Well, that doesn't excuse anything. That's just wrong. It's immoral. So we need to rethink who we are and know ourselves well enough to know how we learn. We need to study ourselves. Nothing
wrong. You know, I have a son-in-law who, with his job, has a lot of people working under him, and he works with a lot of really smart people, in fact. But he says one of the most difficult things is to help people learn critical thinking. Do you have even a few, like, tips, Doug, about how people can begin to learn critical thinking?
Well, yeah, and as I'd mentioned earlier, when you read something or hear something, ask yourself, does it have the ring of truth to it? Is it believable? Is it far-fetched? Does it have any meaning to my life or to anybody's life? You know, it's like in the anomalous research field, we get presented with different things that we call false positives, but we might see something. We might take a picture with an orb in it, and we think, oh, cool, you know, good old Aunt Martha's here paying us a visit. But that's not critical thinking. We need to ask, is it true? Is it real? Is it correct? Is it moral? Is it right? We just need to think, because, and we base it on our own core values, what we've learned, our own experiences, and we're not too quick to buy into anything. We need to test it out a little bit. That's ways of really being a critical thinker, so that you're not duped. I mean, everything we talk about on these shows, you should be thinking, is it real? Is it true? Does it sound right? You know, take what you want and leave the rest. That's kind of the deal here.
So, actually, I was going to say, duh.
Yeah, yeah, really. But, you know, we try to bring stuff that is defensible. And that's another thing with critical thinkers, and especially with anomalous researchers. If you're going to believe something, and even metaphysicians, I don't care. If you're going to believe something, fine. Make sure you can defend it to a reasonable degree. Now, in metaphysics and anomalous research, we don't have objective proof of anything. Very little we do. So if you're going to believe something, fine, but make sure you can at least back it up with some reasonable thinking, something that's reasonable. That's critical thinking. Don't just buy into it because everybody else does.
Or somebody told you, and then you start talking about
it. Yeah, or you want to believe. I mean, when we're dealing with death, it's so nice to believe that our loved one is here, paying us visits, making, you know, showing up as an orb in a photograph. It's so comforting, but it's not real. We need to make sure that if they, I'm talking about the orbs.
Oh, okay,
if you see an orb that we're talking about with your naked eye, different story, okay? But in pictures, nah. All right. So,
I know.
You know, I'm trying to thread a needle here. I mean, again, is everything true? No. Is some of it? Sure. Make sure you can defend it. So, we're wrapping up this program tonight. We really appreciate everyone who's joined us in the chat room and those who've taken your time. Yeah.
It's good to be back. It's great.
And we appreciate your time. And those who listen to the archive, we appreciate your time, too. If you're an MCHS member, we appreciate you being a member. If you're an IMHS or ICHS student, thanks for being part of that as well. Now, the next show that we're going to do here in a couple of weeks, we're going to be doing these shows on the first and third Wednesdays of the month, and we'll post the next show on the websites. Same time, 10 p.m. Eastern, first and third Wednesdays. But the next show we're going to do is a show kind of devoted to IMHS doctoral degree program students and, by extension, ICHS certification program students. We want to talk about things like, is this degree a real degree? You know, how do you explain that to people around you, especially when you're first starting out? Students are excited, and then they get kind of knocked down a peg or two from what other people say. So we're going to talk about that, talk about how to make the most of the program, how to stick with it and be successful with it,
and
whatever else we can think of.
Bring all your friends, and it's good, just good knowledge. So.
Thanks so much, everybody. Again, congratulations, Dr. Brian Parsons, for being Paranexus Executive Director. We're out of time. Have a great week. Good night.
Good night, everybody.